Okay, let's turn in our Bibles to Colossians. Colossians 3, verses 12 to 17. Colossians chapter 3, 12 to 17. And here is the word of the Lord. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Father, we are, yes, there's joy in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can be in the house of the Lord and we can experience the joy of the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit of joy as we gather as your family. Thank you, Lord, the privilege that we have to gather and to worship you, to see one another, to connect even in a short time, to connect and to be a community together. Lord, these things that you have designed the church for, Lord, that it would be a place where we gather, where we connect, where we one another, and then we scatter to be your missionaries to the places that you have called us to be. So thank you that you have called us to gather on your day to worship you, to receive your word, and then to scatter. Lord, teach us today as a church. Energize us today on this topic of discipleship. Help us to have a desire to grow together as a body, a family of Christ in these next 10 years, in the second decade of our church. Help us to have a desire to grow spiritually as disciples of Christ, as a church, and we just want to become more like Jesus as learners, followers of Christ. So may the words of my mouth this morning, the meditation of all of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Question this morning is, are you growing as a disciple of Christ? Are you growing as a disciple of Christ? In this room, my daughter's 11 years old. I think she's the youngest. I think we have up to 50s, maybe 60s, maybe not today. But whatever age you are in that range, whatever life stage you're in at the moment, here's the question. Are you growing as a disciple of Christ, a learner, a follower, a disciple of Christ? So for approximately the last 10 days, our oldest son, Joshua, was at a Salvation Army music camp up in Wisconsin, Camp Wonderland. Some of you might have been there, at a camp called Central Music Institute, CMI. And it was a kind of a last-minute decision in our family. Took a little cajoling, but he went off for 10 days. And now, because he's 13 years old, and that's when you can start going to this camp. This is a camp that I used to attend religiously since I was 13 years old. So I took my son up there, and then I was very nostalgic and sentimental, you know, because I used to attend this camp. And then that just reminded me, I'm getting old. And I felt extremely old with a teenage son. I think parents of teenagers, we just entered that stage, and I think you know what I'm talking about. Now, remember that our family left the Salvation Army around 3 years ago, just about 3 years ago. And so this was our first time that I went back to this camp that I actually spent a lot of my childhood at. And 13 to at least 22 I attended, and then until about 30 years old I was on staff at this camp. So I ran into a lot of old people, old friends, people that I used to be on staff with at this camp, people I consider good friends. And here's the question that I kept getting asked. They're like, John, good to see you. Who is this man next to you? And they were pointing to my son. It's like, this is your son? Many of them wouldn't have seen him in 3-4 years. Look how big he is. He's almost as tall as you. And I don't know how many times people ask me that. And truth be told, look at him. He's just about as tall as me now. And why? Because he is grown. Because kids grow. And as a general rule, living healthy things grow in one way or another. So the question is, are you growing as a disciple of Christ, no matter what age or what life stage you are in? That's the question that is driving this sermon today. And today I get the privilege of presenting the RCC discipleship model for whole life discipleship in more detail with our church before we begin implementing different aspects of this into the life of our church, beginning this very quarter, Q3, and into the fall. Now, this is a follow-up sermon from a sermon I gave about 2 months ago from Romans 12. Remember Romans 12, 1 and 2, on the topic of whole life disciples. And the call there was to offer your bodies, your whole bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And as we do that, to be transformed, transformees, by the renewing of your mind. The call to be a whole life disciple, a learner, a follower of Christ is this: not just when we gather as a church like this, but in the realm of our whole lives, is where we are to be transformed as his disciples. The church gathered is important for our discipleship, but the church scattered is just as important for our discipleship to become more like Christ. Our real lived out lives, that's your jobs, your schools, the neighborhoods in which you live, the very homes in which you live, is the realm in which we are to be discipled by Christ. And this is how we can continue to grow as his disciples, no matter what age, what life stage we may be in, to heed the call to discipleship, whole life discipleship in Christ. So here's a brief recap of how we got to our discipleship model. Way back in the beginning of 2020, the Elder Board presented this vision for the year 2020. Let me just highlight the part in bold. The 10-year diagnostic says, as we approach our 10-year anniversary, we want to enter into a 3-year period of self-reflection, research, and implementation of church-wide discipleship to ensure a healthy next decade. Fast forward 2 years, and 2 years of COVID later, 2022 vision, this year in January, we gave this vision, recover and realign, and the bolded statement there, we also hope to realign with the trajectory of RCC's original vision as we implement our discipleship model into the life of the church. And that brings us to RCC's discipleship model for whole life discipleship. This is a framework, it's a model, it's not any kind of curriculum. It's a framework that captures our church's best attempt to foster true and healthy growth in all of our church members through the second decade of our church. And this is took 3 years, I know you guys wait a long time, to come up with this. The combined work of the pastoral staff of our church to come up with this framework by which we can hopefully enter this decade, a decade of growth, not just in numbers, but as disciples of Christ. But before looking at the model in more detail, which is what I want to do today, I want to ground the concepts of this model once again in the Word of God, this time from today's passage in Colossians 3. Of course, virtually every page of the New Testament would somehow picture our discipleship under Jesus in some way. But this morning, we'll park ourselves briefly in Colossians 3. So if we go back to Colossians 3, look at the first 17 verses of this chapter. I think we can summarize Paul's instruction here in three succinct commands. Number one, look up. Look up. Verse 1 says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. As those who know Christ, as those who have died with Christ and been raised with Christ, as disciples, learners, followers of Christ, Paul's command here is to look up, set your hearts and your minds on things above. Why? Because our life is now hidden with Christ in God. We have died. We have been raised with Christ. So now we can live as disciples, learners, followers of Christ. But then how shall we live as disciples of Christ? The second command of Paul in this passage, put off, put off. Verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. As those who know Christ, as disciples of Christ, whose hearts and minds are set on things above, Paul now says to put to death, to put off the things that belong to our earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is all encapsulated by that final word, idolatry. These things and desires that reside within all of us that displease and dishonor God, idolatrous desires. But the passage goes on, and in verse 8 it says that we must also rid ourselves of these things: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. These are now things that work out of my idolatrous heart, which harm and dishonor others. You see that? When I'm angry, when I'm rageful, malice, slander, these are things that harm others around me. And so as disciples of Christ, Paul says that we must now put off not only our personal idolatrous sins towards God, but also our horizontal relational sins toward others. Our words and our actions that bring harm to others. And you see here a progression. As disciples of Christ, we're not only to put off our personal idolatrous sins of the heart, but we must go further and put off the words and actions that negatively affect those around us. Amen? And then, the final command of Paul in this passage, which takes us into our pericope for today, put on. Look up, put off, and put on. Verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. What do you notice about those words? Every one of those words is relational. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. These are traits we possess not for ourselves, but for others. When I'm compassionate, I'm compassionate toward others. When I'm kind, I'm to be kind toward others. Humble, gentle, patient, that's meant to be toward others. In other words, what we put on as disciples of Christ is not simply personal holiness. It's not personal righteousness. It's not just personal spirituality. It's not even reading the Bible and praying alone. It is, rather, the things that are utterly relational, bent towards one another, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And this becomes even more explicit in verse 13. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Yes, we are called to each other. Huh? One another. Each othering, one anothering is what we are called to put on in Christ as disciples, learners, followers of Christ. Then the final couple of verses bring us to what our discipleship model actually would note as the very activities of our church gathered and our church scattered. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Brothers and sisters, these are the very activities of the church gathered. As the message of Christ rules in our hearts richly, as we teach, admonish one another through the Word of God, as we sing, just like we did, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs together and to one another, according to Ephesians 5 from the call to worship. These are the very activities that we are to engage in as a church gathered, whenever we are gathered as a church body, surely on Sunday morning, but in our community spaces, in our learning spaces, in our prayer meetings. And then the final verse of this passage, verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Finally, the final verse of this pericope is a verse describing the church scattered. In whatever we do, whether in word or deed, whether that be our working or playing, whether that be our walking or talking, whether that be eating or drinking, according to 1 Corinthians 10:31, we do it all for the glory of God and in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thus, growing as disciples of Christ through our whole lives, surely as a church gathered, but certainly the 6 days of the week where we are scattered. Amen? Amen? Am I making the case here? According to Colossians 3, we have to look up, put off, put on. But the putting on is each othering, is one anothering, a call to be a body, growing together. And so for the remainder of my time, I'm going to go through this discipleship model. I will walk you through all four columns of this model in more detail. If I can just say, this has been a very unconventional sermon to prepare, since I will now, in effect, be pivoting from the scripture to this document that we have created. But please be assured, everything in this document is based on scripture, even if not explicitly stated. And we thought we really needed to communicate this model and this framework well so that we could be on the same page for this next decade. There was an accompanying description document that was emailed out a couple of months ago now, along with we sent out a longer description document. I'm going to quote from that. Here's a quote. The purpose of the model is to facilitate a church environment at RCC where discipleship is central and naturally taking place. This is more appropriate for a 10-year plan than a curriculum or program. The latter are often less flexible, more dependent upon individual teachers or leaders. Curriculums and programs can also communicate a narrower understanding of discipleship, teaching, learning, or participating in church activity than what we have in mind. So, here we go. The four columns of our discipleship model. Are you excited? All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that. All right. church vision. Here's the column, if you can read it. Church vision, keeping whole life discipleship at the center of our vision and goal. The vision of our church ought to be to create a church culture where whole life discipleship is at the center of our church's life in both its gathered and scattered forms. The core convictions underlying this vision: the lordship of Jesus Christ over all aspects of our lives. Discipleship is at the core of the calling and mission of the church. And then tasks for the vision team. You can read the rest there. The vision of our church, of course, belongs collectively to all of us who call RCC home. But the task of keeping our church aligned with the vision is the task of the vision team. The vision team at our church is a team that meets quarterly, that's every 3 months, in order to come up with 4 quarterly vision initiatives or strategic initiatives, which are meant to help us fulfill our one-year vision, that thing I shared with you earlier, recover and realign. I become more and more convinced that this vision team is a vital thing to have at our church to keep our church on mission and to keep our church on vision. And these are emailed out to you, believe it or not. I hope many of you know. Here's the Q3 vision initiatives. I won't read it. It's just up on the screen. It's emailed out to you at the beginning of each quarter to tell you what the vision team has casted for 3 months for us to concentrate on, for us to fulfill our one-year vision to recover and realign. That also then maps to our 3-year vision and our 5-year vision. This is a way to keep our church on track in the ways that we feel God has called us to go. And with our new discipleship model, the vision team has committed to designating at least one of these 4 strategic initiatives every quarter to the topic of discipleship. As you can see right there, discipleship implementation is number 1 for this quarter. And this is in order to keep discipleship and the growth of our church members at the forefront of our attention and our efforts as a church. So in case you didn't know, this is built into our church, the vision team, in order for us to try to live out the vision that we are trying to live out as a church. And so please pray for the vision team. Please pray for the vision team that we would not guide the church off track, but that we would stay exactly where God has called us to be, and then to make the adjustments necessary as we see him leading this way or that. If any of you have any input for our vision team, please do not hesitate to contact Ken Ha, who is the vision guy of our church. He heads up this team. And you can always talk to me or any of our elders and staff. All right, church culture is the second column. Church culture, creating a whole life discipleship culture within our church. Church culture. Culture eats strategy for breakfast. A quote to emphasize the importance of culture, the culture that we create as a church. Culture includes beliefs we share. Everyone knows that. The things we do, the way we do things as a church, how we communicate, the things we say as a church. And what does a whole life disciple culture look like? Our members share a strong conviction in the universal lordship of Christ and therefore strive to live out their faith in every sphere of their lives and regularly share and celebrate fruitfulness on the front lines. And here I have breaking news. I'm going to introduce to you our fall C-Group curriculum in this moment. Fruitfulness on the front line. Yeah? Yeah! Thank you. Fruitfulness on the front line is the curriculum by which we are going to cultivate community in our community groups. It's going to be prepared sheets that facilitators will guide discussion through to talk about not what we do at church necessarily, but what you do at work, what you do as a doctor, as a teacher, as a lawyer, as an office person. We wanna share about that, our lives and the relationships and the places and people that God has put in your lives for us to bear fruit on the front line. The aim is to see that everyone has a front line. Even those who stay at home with children surely have a front line. Those out in the workforce, those in school, those who are doing different things in life, to begin to develop a rich understanding of fruitful living for God, and then to ask this question, how can I strive to be even more fruitful in this front line that God has called me to? Another quote from our description document. So how exactly does one go about creating a particular kind of culture? Culture is shaped through strategic one-degree changes. And that is in our framework on the second column, one-degree changes. Some examples of one-degree changes may entail tweaking our Sunday liturgy or prayer meeting format or sermon applications or elder visitations and so on. The goal is to collectively come up with strategic initiatives, both large and small, over many years and in every ministry of our church that will have a cumulative effect of slowly but surely transforming our beliefs, our deeds, and our speech. That is the three aspects of culture, our beliefs, our deeds, and speech, to be more faithful to Christ's call to whole life discipleship. So that is the aim of the church culture column. Moving on, the church gathered, equipping our church gathered for learning, community, and mission. Learning, community, and mission. The church gathered is the church as a corporate or collective body. We ought to equip our members with both knowledge and wisdom gained from practice in both learning and community spaces. In our learning spaces, the focus should be on studying the Bible, doctrine, and more narrow topics that equip our members to be effective on their particular front line. And to foster growth, our aim should be to implement a curriculum that goes through material in a building and sequential manner. In our community spaces, the focus should be on building meaningful relationships in which we can share in fellowship and hold one another accountable with our spiritual disciplines. And finally, our church gathered is also a gospel community on mission in Naperville and beyond. There should be a missional focus in all of our gatherings and programs. Learning, community, mission is the church gathered. Again, from our description document, certain ministries at our church, such as C groups, fall more neatly under community spaces, while others, such as adult Sunday school, fall under learning spaces. These are not meant to be rigid categories, however, and thus we should expect that other ministries combine elements of both. For example, men's, women's groups, RCCYZ, RCC Kids Ministry, those are both learning community spaces at the same time. The key is striving to maintain a balance between community and learning, understanding that true learning takes place when we move beyond study towards application within the context of community. So I'm reading a book. It's called Analog Church by J.Y. Kim, Why We Need Real People, Places, and Things in the Digital Age. Very interesting, very helpful book. And it came out a while ago, but only recently has it come to my attention. And it's because the book was published in March 31 of 2020. Just as we were locking down with COVID, we were all going digital, this guy published a book called Analog Church. So I don't think it got the attention that it deserved right off the bat, because we were all streaming and learning how to go digital. But these days, after 2 years of COVID, this book is really speaking to me, and I think speaking to other church leaders as well. Here's a quote. Digital communities are convenient and customizable. They are based on our preferences and designed to be easily and quickly chosen or unchosen. But analog communities are different. When we show up in the flesh, it's not as easy to unfriend or unfollow or block. Because despite our differences and incompatibility, here we are. We've gathered together and committed to giving a portion of our lives and energies to a particular people in a particular place at a particular time. This is what families look like. Like it or not, we are connected. And this is a risky decision, to be sure. Analog communities are based not on preferences, but on presence. They are formed simply by who's there, and it's much more difficult to choose or unchoose them. If that has whet your appetite, I highly recommend reading this book. It's been a real challenge and a real encouragement as well. And so here's another unashamed plug to join a C group. Yeah! Join an analog community that we will call C groups at our church. Let's be present with one another. Let's join an analog community with a particular group of people in a particular place at a particular time. Commit to do that. I think we can do that now as COVID is waning down. Please, God. We can commit to this, to be part of a regular part of a community space that our church is providing so that all of us can be on a path to growth and fruitfulness on the front line for this upcoming season. One final quote from our description document. Our church gathered, here it is also a community, gospel community on mission in Naperville and beyond. This is the mission. There was the learning, community, and mission. There should be a missional focus in all of our gatherings and programs. Every time we gather as a church, we should be mindful of the community to which we belong, welcoming in anyone who would walk through our doors. And some of our programs should have the stated goal of reaching out to those in our community with the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? I know this has been the heartbeat of RCC since day one, and it is part of this discipleship model as a vital part of our church gathered mission. And here's something we discussed at our staff meeting this past week. What will our fall outreach to our community look like this year? It was a robust discussion between what we've done in the past through Fall Fest, between that and what we've been able to do during COVID last 2 years with our trunk or treat. What should this fall's outreach to our community look like? And does it just have to be in the fall? Can we do something in the spring? Actually, we've already budgeted a budget for the spring outreach. So how are we going to year-round reach out to our community here in which we are located? We, as a church gathered, have a mission here in Naperville to be a gospel community on mission. So we will look to serve our community here together. Amen? That will never be outside of our purview, for we are a gospel community on mission. And if you just said amen, you're going to volunteer in our fall outreach to this community. Thank you very much. Our last column in the model is the church scattered. The church scattered, continuing our mission on the front lines of our church scattered. The church scattered, the church as individuals now, not together, engaged in day-to-day activities, that is homes, workplaces, schools of our members. The front line refers to the place or field. Think of mission field, where we spend most of our time and in where we encounter non-believers. So there's a 10 to 110 ratio in this model, which represents the approximate number of hours in a week given to church activities, very generously 10 hours, versus the number of waking hours in a week spent on our front lines. Work, family, leisure, approximately 110 hours. That's minus sleep. 10 to 110. The front line, the 110, is not just the context in which we put our faith into practice, but also the setting where we are discipled by God's Spirit, so that we are discipled to be more like Christ, a learner, follower of Christ, in that realm, and not just to be a light, not just to be missionaries, but to be growing in those realms. A concerted effort should be made on the part of the leadership to become familiar with the different front lines of our members. That is on us as a church leadership, that we will, from here, Not just talk about what we do when we gather, but talk about what you do Monday morning, Tuesday morning, and help you to be fruitful and to grow in that realm in whole life discipleship. A final quote from the book, kind of as a basis that is the basis of this model, Imagine Church by Neil Hudson, releasing Whole Life Disciples. The goal of whole life discipleship is that the community of God's people, in both its gathered and scattered mode, can commit itself to growing as whole life missionary disciples. It's a good term. This message is hugely liberating for people. In our experience, there are many people sitting in churches up and down the country wondering why they are there. They're committed to Christ, committed to a strong belief in the church, but they just wonder why their two worlds seem so disconnected, to begin to reorient their activities so that they can be envisioned to live a full, whole Christian life is what many people have longed for. I'm not sure if that speaks to you, but this is what we want to do as a church. We want to connect, not just the things we do as a church gathered, but your lives, the mission fields, the people, the relationships that you've been pouring into maybe for years and decades to try to share Christ, to affect the culture in your work. We want us to be able to empower you to be fruitful there and to grow there, not just in the 10 hours or so when you're at church during a week. And so I'll leave you with the verse that we started with, Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. RCC, let us grow together as disciples of Christ, as a family, as a household of God, for these next 10 years. Who's with me? Okay, don't go anywhere then, all right? Amen. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Would you join me in prayer? Join me in prayer. Father, thank you for this time, laborious maybe in one sense, but Lord, we pray that what has been shared from your word, what has been prepared by the pastoral staff these past 2 years, 2.5 years, would get us on the same page, Lord, would reveal your heart for our church as a whole, as a corporate body, but also our church as the people in this room, the people tuned online, that is the church. Lord, help us to be fruitful where you have planted us. Lord, help our church be fruitful here in this neighborhood, right above downtown Naperville where you have planted us. Lord, we want to be whole life disciples that grow as we gather, that grow as we scatter, Lord, that reaches out to our community with mission for the people that don't know you, that also do that in our workplaces, in our families, in our schools, in our very homes. Lord, that we would be whole life missionary disciples that live out your gospel and you live out your mission in every sphere of our lives. Lord, we can't do this on our own. This is our church's attempt to do this, to become missionary disciples, whole life disciples of Christ. So would you bless it? Would you tweak it? Help us to follow you where you lead. Help us to be attentive to what you are saying and how you are leading us. But Lord, ultimately help us to grow as disciples of Christ together. I thank you for my family here. I thank you that we can be in this together. We give you all the praise. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen. Amen.